February 4th, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for Tangerine SDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been programming on a project to build a Windows-based or a web browser-based graphics program. So, making progress. It's getting there. I'm learning a lot about different protocols and how to make them work together. So it's been quite productive, but I'm still a ways before I can start showing it with other folks. So that's it for me. Next on the list, we have Dave, KD0EAG. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello. I've spent the last week or so largely still fighting with the magnetometer design a little bit, trying it different ways. Otherwise, mostly just home duties and some you know, and some other things around here that have been taking up my time, trying to get my house fixed up and stuff. Anyway, over to y'all. Take care.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Mike, AA8K, shown as recording. And we want to thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.tangerinesdr.com. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, thank you, Dave. And greetings to everyone listening to the TeamSpeak session. Over.
Very good, Mike. And next on the list, we have Nathan, W2NAF. Go ahead, Nathan.
Good evening, Dave. Thank you to you and everyone else on the list as well. Things are going fine here. I'm into my second week of teaching classes here at the university. And I've got a communication systems class and an electricity and magnetism class, and they are off and running. And I have been working on assigning some ionospheric analysis code and organizing the HAMSci workshop and trying to coach research students. So it's been quite busy and getting ready for a hamcation this coming weekend. W2NAF, back to net.
Fine business, Nathan. And next on the list, we have Tom, N5EG. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, good evening, Dave. Good evening to everybody on the list. Not too busy this week. Looked over a little bit of stuff that Dave had on the magnetometer and dropped a few hints, but Dave's got a big challenge there, I think, to figure all that stuff out. And a little bit of discussions with John Ackerman, Scotty, and myself, and I think we've come up with an approach and abstracts for the Tangerine SDR stuff at HAMSci. So back to the group.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Troy, AC8XP. Go ahead, Troy.
Hello, everyone. This is Troy, AC8XP. Just glad to jump in and listen in here tonight. I think Frankie did get a chance to respond to a couple of emails out today, and so hopefully she's getting on the right track. So AC8XP, back to net.
Fine business. And next on the list we have Scotty, WA2DFI. Go ahead, Scotty. Well, Scotty's listed as away, so are you back, Scotty?
Yeah, I guess you have to unmute before the buttons work, huh? So anyway, this week, worked some more on the DE schematic, trying to get that whipped into shape. It's been a little bit slow. Some issues have to be resolved. And they took some days off and went over to San Diego, visited the memorial for Brian Cantor, which was very interesting to hear all the stories about Brian and his career and the kind of guy he was. I didn't know him too well, but felt like I got to know him a lot better listening to all the great stories. And got the good read-in back, Tom, for the RF board. There's a couple issues on properties that we have to fix. I think we had an 0201 resistor stuck in there by mistake, so we have to fix that. So I've got the master here. He sent it back to me now, so I got the master here. I'll whip those changes in and back to him, and then when I get it back from him as a good read-in, I'll send you a copy. And then we'll be all up to date. But he does have all the decals built, So now the fun begins. Of course, just in time for Hamcation, right? And been trying to get ready for that too. And with not so much for the demos, but I've got some posters for DCC and trying to collect everything that's going to go with me. So, you know, at the last minute frenzy of the trip, since I'm heading out Wednesday morning, kind of early. So anyway, back over to you, Dave.
Scotty, and next on the list, we have Bill, AB4EJ. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks, Dave, and good evening to the net. I've been very busy here. I've got my FT8 simulator. I have a bunch of FT8 data that was collected using a Raspberry Pi, and I'm able to put that on the data engine simulator, take it apart, put it into buffers very similar to what we've talked about using. Rather than 1024 samples, I'm putting 1,000 samples in each one, along with some metadata, and then sending that in pieces at 4,000 samples per second over to the local host. I'm able to reassemble those and run them through the decoder, and then output the call signs from the decoded FT8. So I've got FT8 working, as I hope to have it working on the finished product. I'm able to display that on the screen, and so I've got this nice little page where you can control your data collection. You can turn on your ring buffer data collection, turn that on and off. You can also turn on FT8, and as it decodes call signs, it will show you what it's hearing. I thought I probably could put some analytics in there to allow you to pick the last 15 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, very much like a PSK reporter, so that you can see what bands are open and maybe tied into with some of the further on down the road, tied in with some of the display analytics that I use in the DX display website to show trends and stuff like that. So that should make something really desirable for people to want to put this piece of equipment and this software into their ham shack. Worked on the presentation for Hamcation, and I also adapted it. I've been asked to give a little presentation on what we're doing for the ISWAT NASA meeting in Cape Canaveral, which I'm attending the week after Hamcation. So we're going to tell them what we're doing. So they asked me to give them a little presentation on that. Also, I have a draft of an ICD between the DE and the local host as a first step. I'm wanting to get with Scotty. I understand I'm traveling on Wednesday also, so we should have some time on Thursday to sit down and have some quality time to talk about that and other issues regarding the software to data engine connectivity. And as I've mentioned before, I've got a lot of working equipment here, which I can show what I'm doing so far, and we'll go from there. Back to Ned.
Fine business. So next on the list, we have Dan in for XWE. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you, Dave, and good evening, everyone. Well, had a pretty busy week or so doing flight training, and that's been about it. The weather here has been really nice the last few days, and actually up into the low 70s today. So a pleasant day in the Carolinas, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone in Orlando in a couple of days. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business. So that brings us to the end of the list, and we're open for general discussion.
So, Dan, when are you coming in to Orlando?
Wednesday afternoon, evening, however long it takes me to get there. I'm going to leave Wednesday as early as I can, which I'm assuming is going to be about 7 o'clock or so. It takes me probably, with stops, about 8.5-9 hours to get there.
Okay, very good. I'll text you the address.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
And Bill, you
Scotty, how about sending me the address too, please? This is Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say I'll send it to you. I'm not sure I have your cell phone number, so why don't you email it to me, and that will be an easy way, and then I can text you.
All right. I'll send. Well, I'll text your contact card right now.
That all sounds good. And I'm going to get in on late Friday night, so I'll be showing up to Hamcation on Saturday morning. So I guess to coordinate the presentations, I'm splitting the time with Bill, and I'm going to give an introduction overview to what the Personal Space Weather Station is and its scientific goals. Is that the idea?
Yes, yes, exactly. So I'm going to tear all that out of mine and pretty well focus on the hardware. And Bill will be networking and you'll be intro. Will that work?
That sounds good to me. I'll probably be able to use a slide deck very similar to what I gave at Tapper. Maybe I give a little bit more introduction to some of the science aspects.
Okay, that'd be good, because I'm a little short on that. Most of the slides I have were stolen from one of your earlier presentations. So, and I will have a computer there for you to use if you need PowerPoint or OpenOffice, either one will have on it. They're the latest and greatest, and they'll be providing us with a projector and screen.
Okay, that sounds great. And I'll have my laptop too, and so I'll be able to do whatever is needed. And I'll have, do you have your slide decks already set, or are you still working on yours?
No, I'm still working on mine.
Okay. I guess whenever you have it set, you can send it to me. I'll probably be working on mine at the last minute, but it's probably just going to be reshuffling around a bunch of slides that I already have.
And actually, if you're going to do a fair amount of introduction, we don't have to split the sessions, you know, one and a half and one full. I mean, we can split the dual session in thirds if you want, because we might have to take a break in the middle between them to let people wander in and out. But because if I take all the intro stuff out of mine, I may be a little short of an hour, because the slots are 1 hour.
Okay. Yeah. Just let me know how long you want me to talk for, and I'm sure I can come up with enough. My talks are typically, they've been running between like 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes for the short ones to, you know, an hour for the longer ones. So I'm kind of figuring, I was guessing 20 minutes to a half hour of intro.
So what do you think, Bill?
I was in the middle of something else. What is the question again? I'm sorry.
We're trying to figure out how to divide up the time for the seminars. So it doesn't have to be on, you know, anything even. It can be depending on how much you have to say. So how much time do you think you need?
Let me take a quick look here.
Because if you include the in-between time, we got 2 hours and 15 minutes to fill. But we may want to take a break for the 15 minutes of interim, because pretty much, I guess they do have some longer ones, but most of them, the longest one I've seen is at 1.5 hours. And so people probably aren't going to want to sit for 2 hours and 15 minutes without a break.
Right. I have 14 slides. Now, you know, that also includes the opening slide. So I have something like on the order of 12 or 13 slides to go through. And if you allow 2 minutes per slide, that would be 24 minutes for my presentation, not including Q&A. I don't know how that compares with, I mean, you know, because the, you know, some of this data that where I'm talking about here is optional. It can be made smaller, it can be made shorter. And I have additional slides I could put in if somebody wanted me to make it longer, but that's usually not the case. So I'm trying to keep it fairly brief. Now let me see, between myself and Nathaniel, how much time is allocated for us? Do we have together an hour?
Yeah, nominally you have that, but I was going to say we don't have to split it even. So if you guys can cover more than an hour's worth, then you can do that.
Well, I was just saying, I would think probably 30 minutes for my piece should be quite adequate, that including Q&A for my piece of it.
Okay, so let's do it that way. A half hour, that's the first hour. Then we'll take a 15-minute break, and then I'll go in and do, you know, 45 minutes or however long. Usually with me, it's not a problem going longer.
That sounds good to me. A half hour seems pretty reasonable for me to fill. Yeah, I'm looking at some of this. It's funny how I talk to different groups, and, you know, I gave about an hour-long talk at the University of Scranton, and I have a whole bunch of slides in there about what is ham radio. Something tells me that's not going to be so appropriate for this audience.
Yeah, and I know, and I gave a talk at the Repeater Association last week, and it went about an hour and 20 minutes, but I had a whole lot of intro stuff on what is Tapper, what is AmSci, What are the scientists looking for? How can we help? I mean, it's stuff that you're going to cover in yours that I won't need to cover.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think what will probably happen is I do have all these slides. Probably Saturday morning, I'll wake up at the hotel and just, you know, put together the deck that I think makes sense. And I think our talk, I think our time slot starts at like 12:30 or so.
Yeah, 12:30 to 1 in there. Did you, you know, Bill?
I remember seeing 12:30. I'm going to go check that right now, though, to double check.
Yeah, so what we could do then, maybe we, if we, each of you take a half hour and I take maybe 45 minutes, that leaves 15 minutes at the end for questions for all three of us.
Yeah, I like that.
That's kind of the format that they use, that Steve Hicks uses for Hamvention. He has three separate speakers, and then he has a Q&A session at the end where you can address your questions to any of the three people.
Yeah, I think that would be nice to have that Q&A at the end. That would be a good buffer and a good way to wrap things up.
Yeah, they have the personal space weather station introduction and stuff with me, A before EF, still starting at 12:30. Yeah, I guess that's CSIV. That's CS4.
Yeah, that they actually put up an extra tent for our presentations. So I'm really happy with these guys. They're really bending over backwards to try and help us. So we're going to be in the new tent, and so it'll be 12:30 to 1:30 for the first two, and then 1:45 to 2:45 or maybe 2:30, and then 15 minutes of Q&A after that. So I think that's what it'll work out. And then after that, I think Mel gets on there and talks about digital TV. He's at 2:40 at 3 o'clock, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that all sounds very good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I just found out last week that John Ackerman and Tom Holmes are also going to be there.
Okay, that'll be really nice.
And I'm not sure if you've been involved too much. John sent me a tentative block diagram, which I think we're almost ready to run it up the flagpole and say, okay, what'd we do wrong? I think there's a few things, additions that I'd like to see, but we've been hashing around how we're going to hook up the clock module. And that's kind of the last thing I'm going to need for the pinout for the clock module to put on the DE. So probably after Hamcation, which is only a few days away, we'll be revving up the clock module.
Okay. I have not seen any email on the subject.
Okay. Well, John keeps saying, are we ready to show this to anyone? And I'm going like, you could show it to everyone right now. But I guess I'm more concerned with the ins and outs than I am the how it works, because I'm not the expert in that area.
Okay. Well, as long as you and John agree, it'd be good to put up with whatever you come up with on the mailing list so that we can get some more eyeballs on it.
Yeah. And I think he was waiting for me to call him so we could have a chat, because you know how it works with email. It takes a long time to get something accomplished, but on a phone call, you can do it fast. Well, he's going to be at Hamcation. We're just going to wait and do it face-to-face there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll wait for the package.
I think one of the reasons I'm very excited to go to Hamcation is just to be able to see everyone in person.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exhausting, I think.
Oh my gosh, this whole week for me is just ridiculous.
Yeah, because I told you about the Canadian guy who's an FPGA expert. Well, he wants to meet with me too, or meet with us. So it'll be good to have more people there so we can kind of all chat them up and see what our opinions are of a new team member. Because I like to really, an FPGA expert, he's been doing FPGA since about 1990. So I'm all for reeling them in, getting them excited about the project.
That would be good. Yeah, it seems like FPGA programmers are not something we have excess of. Is there going to be a good coffee pot down at the Tapper booth there?
No, unfortunately, but there will be coffee, a chuck wagon or something outside where you can get coffee.
That will work.
Yeah, the food at Hamcation generally is very good. I've been going to it 3 or 4 times, and the food, they do a great job with the food.
Yeah, at Hamvention, we usually have cold caffeine and some snacks and things like that, but that's because we have a couple people that live there that can drive in and help out a lot. So here it's kind of hard because everybody comes in from somewhere else. And to top that off, we're all lazy. Well, I am anyway. It is going to be interesting, though, because I think there's last count, there were like 8 people from Tapper going to be there. And we have one 10x10 booth.
I guess
how many people
cozy
are showing up?
Well, I mean, there's you and me and Nathaniel and Mel and Dan and John and Tom and Anna. And I probably forgot somebody, so I don't know how many that is, but it's close to 8 people, and we'll have in one little booth.
Well, I don't think we're expected to necessarily everybody be there all the time, because I would like to go around and see the exhibits and the flea market and everything, and I think probably everybody would.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. So we'll have a couple people there some of the time, or all the time, a couple people, but different people.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some nice equipment, you know, the computers with the all of the software and everything on an administration basis. You know, of course, I've got it backed up, but I don't want anything to sprout legs or get corrupted by somebody playing with it. We need to make sure that folks keep an eye on different equipment and things that we have running at the booth.
Well, we're in a line of friendly people, so you know, we keep track of their stuff and they keep track of ours, and we kind of watch out for each other. So I've never had anything walk off at Hamvention, and I've only been to Hamcation once, and it didn't seem like it was a problem, because there's between the three booths in a row, there's always somebody hanging around. So we're nestled between SARA, Society of Amateur Radio Astronomers, and the ORI booth.
What is the name of the building that we're in? Do you does your data show you that?
We're in North Hall.
Okay, North Hall.
And see, it's too bad, because last year when they had spaces open, you could actually load the map. You could go to the page for registration, even though you weren't going to register, and they would bring up the map of every hall, and you could hover your mouse over and you could see who was in that booth. But since they sold out this year, you can't do that anymore. So you can't, the booth numbers are not even there. So I don't even remember what booths were. I think I just don't remember. But we're in North Hall, and we're in the northwest corner of North Hall in the back. So you come in the main doors to North Hall, they're on the south end. And we're on the opposite end on the left side as you come into the building. I've got a big banner we'll hang up, so you'll be able to find us.
You know what we really need, though, it occurs to me, is we need a handout that talks about the project, and so people can take it with them and then have that to remind them to follow up.
Well, okay, I don't have a handout. I I took the liberty of printing up 1,000 vinyl stickers with the tangerine on them and the web address.
Oh, that might work just as well.
So people can stick them on their laptops or on their forehead or on their foot or something.
Yeah, I don't have the newest tangerine graphics for the anything on the local host, so you're going to see the old tangerine.
Well, I actually licensed the actual photo we used to use, so the only difference will be the one you have probably has a watermark on it and ours doesn't. The new one on the web does not. Dave put the new one up, last week, Dave?
Yep, it was last weekend.
Okay, very good, very good. And something else very good, I just worked Alaska on 60-meter FT8 here while we're talking.
All right.
That sounds great.
That's rare as hen's teeth right there.
So while I was in San Diego, I got a banner printed up, too, that's 18 inches high and 5.5 feet long to hang underneath the Tapper banner. It has a 15-inch high tangerine on the left side of it.
Yeah, we'll see about getting a bowl with some... and filling it with tangerines. I can borrow a bowl from my daughter.
Oh, that'd be great. And hopefully we can find some at the supermarket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. We can probably, in fact, there's groves around there where you can go pick your own if you really want to get into it.
Do you get shot if they catch you?
Well, no, obviously you're going to pay for what you pick. There's a place called World of Citrus where they have, I don't know, 500 acres of all kind of citrus trees, and you go out there and they give you a bag and you pick whatever you want and they weigh it and you just pay by the pound. And but you got to know what you're looking for, what you're doing, because so many of the trees have been damaged by the citrus greening disease. And if you get the fruit off of that, it's bitter and inedible. So, but yeah, anyway.
Okay. Yeah. They used to have those you pick kind of places in Arizona, but they're kind of all went away since pretty much all of our citrus went away because got all overbuilt with houses. Yeah, you used to be able to pick apricots, grapes, and then raisins later in the season after they all dried out, and oranges, and pecans, and I don't remember what else.
Well, now, all of those would have been like groves that were irrigated, I suppose, right? Because you don't naturally have enough rainfall in that area for citrus, or do you?
No, everything in the central desert's irrigated.
Okay.
We have three cotton seasons in the valley here, all irrigated, but we have enough warmth that they can actually grow three crops of not of cotton, I'm sorry, three crops of corn. So it's pretty interesting. You can get corn almost all year round here, fresh, right off the plant.
Can you tell me, by the way, Scotty, did you receive, I texted you my contact information. I didn't check and see if you received that, please.
Okay, my phone's in the other room. Hold on, I'll run and get it.
User in your channel timed out.
I did not get that.
Scotty, Bill timed out for just a minute. He'll be back, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, it didn't come through for some reason, so maybe he's got my office number instead.
For what it's worth, I have made a little icon from the original tangerine that I used on the latest rev of the magnetometer board. I'm sure it doesn't have any watermark left in it, if it ever did have, because I had to reduce it to, you know, one color. But it might be useful to someone. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be useful, I think. We end up with software applications. You can use that as the icon, right?
Well, it's not for the software. It's to go on the board itself.
But it's like 64 pixels by 64 pixels or something?
It's something, but it's not in Windows icon format or anything.
Okay, but if it's small enough, we could make it in Windows icon format, unless it's like odd shape or something. So we'd have to, because I know when you start shrinking things down that small, it doesn't come out very well sometimes.
Yeah, Bill is back. Bill, I think Scotty did not get your contact information.
Okay, I'll send it again. I think I'll just send it again in a minute.
By the way, Scotty, there is an icon on the web page that I built, so there is no license to it, but it's the small little tangerine icon, and that's available on the website.
Oh, okay. Where did you put that?
It, you can look at it because it's, I believe it's in the top directory.
Oh, okay. Okay, Bill, I sent you my cell phone number, so you can text me on that. You probably have the wrong phone number, I'm guessing, some other one. I have so many of them.
Oh, okay. I sent to one ending in 8714.
Yep, that's not the right one. So I sent you my cell phone number in an email.
Okay, that'll make a difference. Absolutely. Also, I found out the 60 meters, which is 5.3 something megahertz, must be close to the frequency used by AT&T to provision my DSL service, my AT&T U-verse, because when you transmit on 60 meters, it makes the internet go down. So that's new information. That's the first time I've run into that. Of course, I haven't been on 60 meters before while using the internet, but now we know.
Are you using a shielded cable in your network?
I'm trying to think. I really doubt it, because that would have to be Cat 6, right? And I have some Cat 6, the Flex 6600 and all the gigabit stuff all has to use Cat 6, but a lot of it, there is a lot of other stuff that is not.
Well, I run gigabit Ethernet over Cat 5e that's shielded.
Yeah, a lot of the Cat 5 that I was not shielded.
Yeah, and I know, because I used to run not shielded, and when I transmit on 40 meters even, it would disconnect the internet. So when I ripped it all out and put shielded cable in, no problem at all.
All right, what email address did you use for me? Englekey77@bellsouth.net?
No, I used your UA address.
Oh, okay. I'll go on that then. Okay, there it is. I got it. It's a good thing we had this talk, because I'd have been in Orlando trying to reach on the wrong phone number.
Yeah, that would not work. Okay, good. So we actually have we rented a house through Airbnb for Wednesday through Monday. So we'll be there. So we'll have, I don't know if we're going to have parties. I'm not planning to have any, but you never know what the other people are going to do. Right, Dan?
Right, Scotty.
You are a wild bunch.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. They're going to shut down Orlando when we show up. And, you know, it's funny, because I got an email from Southwest Airlines about warnings about batteries and chargers in your checked luggage because of the Super Bowl. And I knew it was in Florida, so I'm going like, oh man, no, it's not the weekend we're there, is it? And it's not in Orlando, is it? And fortunately it was not, but I was getting all freaked out over it. So Dave, I bet you're happy with the Super Bowl outcome.
Yes, we were quite pleased. So it was great.
Yes, it was a great thing for the great state of Kansas.
I didn't hear about that.
I forgot about that.
Well, not to say bad about Kansas. Kansas City is in Kansas and Missouri, but the bigger part of Kansas City is in Missouri.
At least it's not the 57th state. I got it, Bill.
Okay, very good.
So we're all just resting in preparation for Hamcation, right?
Maybe that's why nobody's talking. Maybe we need to just be done for the night if we have nothing further to discuss.
Yeah, it would be a record, but we could certainly do that. I'm kind of really waiting to get started on the RF board. So, Tom, do you think from the document you sent to me that I forwarded to Dave, is there enough for him to get a preliminary placement, or is he going to need our help before he can do that?
I don't know. He probably could do a preliminary placement from that, but give him my phone number and email, so if he has any questions, he can contact me.
Okay, sounds good. Maybe, you guys can make some progress while we're off, you know, playing and wasting time not doing work.
Yeah, I need the XA2 schematic if we're going to do that.
It's XA4 now, because I modded it to XA3, and then I sent it to him, and he held the baton, and now he's handed the baton back to me, which is XA4. So I'm going to fix it, send it to him as XA5. And if he says okay, then I'll send you the XA5. How's that?
Okay. You have the link to upload it?
Yes. It's still good, right?
Yeah. I sent you one last week.
Yep. Got that one. So I'll upload it there.
Okay. Very good. I'll wait it. And if we can get something done while you're gone, we'll have it all hosed up in time for your rearrival.
Okay, good. Then maybe I won't be so far behind on the DE.
Hi, Dave Witten. This is Troy. I just wondered if there's any homework that you need us to do or anything we can do to help you along, Frankie and I?
I've been kind of swamped with trying to make these other things work, trying to correct mistakes faster than I make them. I don't have a specific task, but I don't know how well you've gotten using that demo board to gather any data. It would be really good to try and just collect some for a while, and hopefully if you can, that would be nice to see, just to get an idea of the statistics that might come out of it.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. We haven't done that yet, but we did get lined up with some physics folks, and I guess we have something on campus that we can use maybe to get some sense of calibration. So that was one thing that Frankie was working on with some folks at school. The other thing, Dave, if there's anything, you know, poster-wise or program-wise or whatever for the group that we can help you with too, we can certainly do layout and things like that.
Okay, I wasn't really planning anything terribly elaborate, though I can probably have some. I can try to have some information about the ultimate design. I guess we're talking about for the HAMSI. Because I'm definitely not going to be at in Florida, but yeah, I'll let you know if there's anything I could use some help with. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, one thing that might be good is if you talk about posters and things. Dave was nice enough to send us a couple boards, but it would be good to have a little, like a one page or half page little blurb of what the board is, so that we can set that out on the table and set the board on top of it. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be pretty fast if I'm going to print one up for Hamcation, but that could be something that would be useful if that's possible.
Okay, well, my target all along has been the HAMSI meeting, not the Hamcation thing, but I could probably try to, I could try to get a short description that would, you know, be a little one pager that could be printed up easily.
Yeah, and I'm thinking just like three bullet items or four bullet items, something very simple, because if you, you know how it is, if you put more text on there, nobody will read it, and then you'll have to explain it anyway. So, because I remember setting out our Raspberry Pi based SDR and not setting out any information on it, and people just kind of walk by it. They don't realize what it is.
Yeah, I can make something like that. That's a, you know, a quick and direct, because there really are basically three functions going on there, and three bullet points that describe what they do and why they're useful. I can probably do that.
Yeah, Dave, if we can be any help, either if you just want to send us the bullet points or something, and we can, I don't know if there's a format or anything that we've started to use, or the group has started to use with the Tangerine or whatever, but we can start to work on things like that as well. If not for Hamcation, then for, certainly for HamSci and Hamvention.
Sure, sure. I've been wanting to get to the documentation here, but I keep finding I've misnumbered something or other, and so I'm stuck in CAD land all the time.
I understand. Yeah, just let us know how we can help, and use us if nothing else, cheap labor.
I think we went over the pinout, Dave, and I think that we deemed it was good.
Yeah, it was very nice of you to do that. Trouble is, I found some mistakes myself, and there doesn't seem to be any end to this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it goes on forever, but maybe this is a good time to talk about the issues that we talked about this past week, just to fill everyone else in. We were the issue is that we really need 5 volts on a PMOD connector, because we need 5 volts on the board for the remote case, for when you're sending power down the wire, so that you can regulate it down to 3 volts on the far end and lose a little bit in the wire and you still get 3 volts out. You don't need the 5 volts if you're going to use a local version, but since we're likely to need a remote version, we put 5 volts on the PMOD connector, but yet all of the PMOD IO is 3.3 volt IO and it's not 5 volt tolerant. So now we get into the problem of, well, do we put 5 volts on the PMOD connector and run the IO at 3.3, which is not really standard, because I believe you're supposed to match them. And normally you'd put a jumper on the board and you could set the IO voltage to 3.3 or 5 to match whatever the IO voltage is for the logic. So I have no problem putting 5 volts on the PMOD and running them at 3.3. However, that you have to be a little careful of just plugging any old PMOD on there if we're going to do that. We have to put it in the documentation to be careful. Otherwise, we could maybe not be a friendly PMOD outlet. So the other alternative is to just put 3.3 volts on the PMOD connector and let Dave put a separate connector on the board for a 5-volt connection for the people who need to use it remotely. But then it gets to be kind of gnarly. You have to plug in the PMOD connector, and then you got to run a pigtail over to a 5-volt connector on the DE, and it gets to be a nuisance. So I'd be interested in hearing any comments.
Well, I want to say that I've had an external 5-volt connector on there from the get-go for this and similar situations. And I think the fact of running not incompatible voltages there really blows away any advantage there would be to having a PMOD connector in the first place. Frankly, I could do well without it altogether, but I know you want it. The 5-volt, I have a jumper for 5-volt. All along, I've tried to keep in mind that there would be other projects that might be interested in using this that wouldn't have a convenient source, certainly wouldn't use PMODs, and probably wouldn't have a convenient source of 5-volt. So to make that connector all 3.3 volts is far preferable to me. Besides, I've even already ripped it out of the schematics. and just run a separate, use a good securely connecting JST PH 2-pin connector for 5 volts. Seems to me a much better choice, but whatever people think.
Well, I realize that you've had a 5-volt connector on there all the time, and that's a good idea, because then when you hook it up to like a Raspberry Pi, that's not a PMON connector, you use one of the other ones, you can feed the 5 volts in. So, I mean, that's excellent. But I would have to add a separate 5-volt connector on the data engine, which is not a big deal. But I was planning to make the PMOD voltage strappable anyway, because you want to really be able to make it a standard PMOD or our special PMOD. But as soon as you do that, you run the risk of somebody strapping it to 5 volts and plugging a standard PMOD board on there and, you know, causing themselves trouble. But I'm not as averse to that as I am to have, you know, leads flying all over to supply power. So it's like you better read the directions if you expect to use the board right, because I tell you what, we have a lot of other straps on the board that if you set wrong, bad things are going to happen. So, you know, you're going to have to read the instructions, and it's, we'll put warnings on the board, but you know how us hams are.
Reading the instructions is a last resort after you've already blown a board, but this is going to be an expensive board to blow.
Yeah, yeah, and the thing is, if you blow the, you wouldn't want to blow either one. So anyway, I'm still thinking about it, Dave, as far as what I think would be the best way. I'm reluctant to lose the PMOD because of the other things that we might be able to use it for, and we can make it a standard one with the jumper, and so we could still do a 5-volt one there, or we could, like you said, put a 5-volt separate connector and have a flying lead over to the board.
Well, the current state of things is that I still have the PMOD. It's still wired up the way it was, except that now it's all 3.3 volt, and you know the VCC and ground are 3.3 volt referenced. And like most of the PMODs that Digilence is selling these days, by the way, I do have a separate lead for 5 volts to a separate jumper, but that's where I am with this one. I think it's a lot safer to do it that way.
I should just leave it 3.3 volt and put a 5-volt boost converter on there for the remote case.
I don't have room for that, and the chances of me getting a 5-volt boost circuit right on there seem pretty dim at this point.
Yeah, I was just being funny about it. Not so funny, actually, but I've seen people that would do something like that, so maybe it's not that far-fetched.
Well, obviously you've got 5-volt and 3-volt there, and it's just a 2-pin header. I don't know, it's whatever suits you, but I think you had been saying that there was the edge facing connectors on that thing were pretty tightly spaced anyway, and using a little vertical a JST PH series connector somewhere on the board, it can be pointed straight up, and they're quite rugged and don't come loose easily or anything.
So if you were to do that, you'd rather use a JST connector than the Grove connector, or are you talking about the same one?
Well, at the moment I'm talking about leaving the PMOD alone. There's a Grove connector on there too. And there's the Quick and, the one Adafruit, whatever Adafruit calls it, too. There's connectors there for all sorts of things. The only odd one is the PMOD, and it's, even if we do the PMOD, we're going to have to run 3 volts. I guess we don't, but... I'm not even sure that the way I had the 5-volt hooked up, the 5-volt hooked up, whether I'd have 3 volts to everything anyway coming out of the regulator. I wasn't even considering that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the schematic. It looked like it would work just fine. And what I'm thinking is maybe what I could do is continue to feed 5 volts to the PMOD, make the output voltage level 3.3 volts, and make the input pins protect the FPGA from 5 volt inputs in case somebody plugged a 5 volt PMOD in, it would be fine. So basically it would be a, because I think I can do this, like if I set the output voltage 3.3 and the output to low voltage TTL, you could get 5 volt TTL and 3 volt TTL, they're compatible on input side. So it might be another way to work it.
You can do what you want as long as the default for people isn't 5 volts on that PMOD, because my board just won't even see it. It's going to be looking for 3 volts. And maybe you have something that connects via PMOD to that that would be used instead of a magnetometer there, but I don't understand why 5 volts on the PMOD. I guess that's what it comes down to. Everything else can be the same.
Well, 5 volts on the PMOD because you need 5 volts to do the remote board. That was what the motivation was.
No, I get the 5 volts from somewhere else.
Yeah, except you won't get it off the data engine if I don't put a connector on for you.
Well, we're going to have a problem then.
Yeah, we will. So that's why we have to come to some agreement here on how we're going to do it. So now we'll continue on and offline with this discussion.
Scotty, I left you a link of where that little logo is. It's in the image directory, and it's tangerinesdr.png.
Oh, in the image directory, okay.
And that's the one that the web browser picks up for the icon in the tab.
And what, do you know what size that is?
I believe it's 64 by 64.
So did this come off of our picture, or is this something that you drew up? Because
I drew it.
Pardon me?
I drew it in GIMP.
Oh, okay. Because pretty hard to reduce something that small and get it to look like the original, right?
Yeah, I worked on it just to try to get an icon that worked for the web browsers. They'd pick it up and it looked like something that you would expect. Sort of looks like a tangerine.
So then if I were to drop this tangerinesdr.com into my favorites bar on, say, Firefox, it would appear like this?
Yeah, that would be, it would have the name of the page, and then it would have that little icon.
Oh, cool. It does. I never tried that before.
And also, in the tab and in the favorites bar, you get that little, it's an orange circle with some green leaf-like looking things.
All right. Very good. So now we've got that, and we've got, and Dave has one for the solder mask. So I wanted to ask you, Dave, KD0EAG, I noticed that the solder mask on the boards is purple. Is it possible to get orange, or is that not a color they offer?
The prototyping service I'm using right now does not offer anything. It only offers 2 color schemes, and purple is the default. But I really had never planned to produce these in quantity through them anyway.
Okay, so we could change that around when the time comes. I was just curious to see what it would look like, because some of the orange solder masks that I've seen kind of have to use your imagination to call it orange.
I wasn't very hung up on the color.
Just say that they're sour tangerines.
Yeah, they went bad. Or they're kumquats, or I think there's like at least 6 different kinds of tangerines.
I'm trying to think if I've seen any citrus that was purple. I can't say that I have.
I just say it's a round eggplant.
Yeah. There you go.
It's an orange pitaya.
Well, we could just say the magnetometer unit is the eggplant. We could just start referring to it that way.
There you go. What do you think, Dave?
I don't know. Whatever.
Well, let's see. We could make the receiver another color, and then we could call the whole project fruit salad.
Yeah, I guess Dave wasn't too enthusiastic, were you, Dave?
Well, my enthusiasm has taken some hits lately, both from my own errors and some of the difficulties in implementing some of these things.
Well, we appreciate the work you've done anyway. I mean, nothing's going to be perfect the first time out, so eventually we'll get there.
Yeah, I'm on my 10th rev of the boards.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
I very much appreciate it, Dave. It's very appreciated.
You were first out of the gate, too.
Yeah, nothing that quite fits this bill, though.
Okay, well, I think before Dave, KV0S reminds me it's an hour, so unless we have anything else, I guess we can call it a night.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and I will be doing the HamSci telecon this Thursday as well, so maybe I'll see some of you for that on Zoom.
Oh, yeah, and we should do one more thing. I know I won't be here next Monday because I'll be traveling. So, you know, if you want to have a meeting, that's be great. And the people who did get home could give you the lowdown on Hamcation.
That sounds very good.
That was what I was going to ask, is were people going to be traveling? And I assume Mike and I will be here. We seem to always work that out.
And my plane lands at 7:45 and it starts at 7 here. So I'll be I probably won't be able to make it home before you guys are done.
Okay, well, we'll call the roll and get what people have to say, and if nobody has anything to say, we'll wrap it up.